we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in today to 91.5 WMIE. My name's Bob Arthurs. It's my privilege to bring the Word of God to you again today, and pray that you are having a good day. Just do want to remind you that if you had been planning on visiting us for our vintage services, those are not taking place right now during the summer. They will resume again at a later time, but do like to make you aware of that. Our kids ministry is still going on. Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, we start feeding kids. 6:30, we start our ministry to them. And so that will be taking place tonight. Do want to also put a little personal thing out there, and that is, if you would be praying for me tomorrow, I'm having another surgical procedure done on my eye. If you've listened for the past year and a half or so, I suffered a retinal detachment about a year and a half ago, and God gave me a promise that I would see clearly, and we're believing that this surgical procedure that will be taking place tomorrow will help bring about that, the fulfillment of that promise. And so anyway, if you would be praying for me, I would greatly appreciate that. We have a number of health issues that we are dealing with in our extended family right now, and so if you would pray for them, that would be greatly appreciated. So let's get into the Word. We're in Isaiah, the 22nd chapter. On yesterday's broadcast, we had talked about God's word against Shebna, who was a priest, and he was removed from his position. He had made preparations, and he would not get to experience the things that he made preparations for. I want to start off today's broadcast by telling you this, and that is, none of us are irreplaceable. We have our responsibilities, we have our privileges to serve, but understand this, that the world existed before us, and if anything happens to us, ministry is going to continue to go forward. Merritt Assembly of God existed before I got there, and should, you know, I pass away or the Lord direct elsewhere, don't see that happening, but you know, I've been there for 23 and a half years, so got a pretty firmly entrenched root system going on. But should the Lord tarry, Merritt Assembly of God will outlive Bob Arthurs. And you know, someone asked me one time, because we've been praying and believing for revival, and said, how do you feel if revival comes and you're not here to see it? And it's like, well, it is coming. It is coming. And I said, what if you're not here to see it? And they said, you know, I didn't think about that. The truth of the matter is, God loves his church. God loves people. God loves you at your job. My grandfather had a job with a company. He was one of the original employees when a man was building a family business. It became a huge, huge business. And, you know, my grandfather was told, you'll have a job here as long as you want to work here. He worked there for 52 years. Somebody had been bought and sold a number of times. And a new company came in and said, you have reached the mandatory retirement age for our company. And at that point in time, the original decree of the owner no longer carried any weight. The owner had ceased to be alive. So, and you know what? That company's still going on. It went on without my grandfather. And so for those of you who take your job very seriously, I hope that's all of you. because you and I are supposed to do our jobs to the glory of God. When I was in retail sales, I ran that business as if it was my business. And then when policies came down that said, you know what, this is the way we want it run. I had to adopt a mindset. It's like, okay, this is not my business. This is their assets, and they've got to set up the policies that they want. My job is to carry out those policies to the best of my ability. And so I've known a number of very diligent employees that worked for people. They brought their work home. They discussed it. They fretted over it, which we're not supposed to do, but they were very concerned. They took their jobs very, very seriously. And then one day, you know, the company decides that they're going to close up shop and they're going to move on or force you into retirement or whatever. And they'll give you a nice $250 watch and say, thank you for your service, and move on. So I want to remind you that what we do, we need to do for the glory of God. But it is not who we are, and we need to prepare ourselves not for where our dead bones are going to rest like Shebna did, but we need to prepare for where our spirit is going to reside in eternity. That's either going to be heaven or it's going to be hell. There are no other options. Actually, let me make it biblically correct. You're either going to spend eternity in heaven or you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Death, hell, and the grave in Revelation are described as being thrown into a lake of fire. And so those are your two options. There is no option of whether or not you're going to confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One will do so voluntarily, embracing the life that God has for them and the forgiveness that comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. Others will do so only after the opportunity of repentance has passed, and yet they will see God in his glory at the great white throne judgment, and they will say, you are righteous and true, and they will then be removed from his presence for all of eternity. I don't want that to be a part of my future. I don't want that to be a part of your future. And so make your preparations for eternity. Make your preparations. Do your job. But don't bring your job home with you. And this is a pastor talking, you know, who's we're pretty much on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But, you know, I don't have to be consumed with the problems of the church all of the time. Don't know exactly how long it will be before I get to go out and play golf again because of the eye thing. I've never experienced it before, so I don't know what the visual recovery period of time is. So I made some time available before the surgery to go out and relax and hit a golf ball. And so I encourage you, make preparations, spend time with your family. You know, I don't know of too many people who ever, when they were laying on their deathbed, made the declaration, you know, I wish I had worked more. I do know a lot of people that said, I wish I'd spent more time with my family. I wish I'd done my priorities different. I wish I'd paid more attention to God's word. I wish that I had lived my life to the glory of God better. I do know people who've made those declarations, but not too many people said, I wish I'd neglected my family and spent more time at my job. So don't live your life thinking that you're irreplaceable and that the company or the world, society is not going to go on should you cease to exist. Live your life so that your legacy exists. And so with that being said, you'll see why I'm telling that to you here as we get into Isaiah chapter 22. Verse number 20, it says, then it shall be in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. I will clothe him with your robe and strengthen him with your belt. I will commit your responsibility into his hand. He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder, so he shall open and no one shall shut. and he shall shut, and no one shall open. I will fasten him as a peg in a secure place, and he will become a glorious throne to his father's house." So this is what God said to Shebna. He said, "I've already got your replacement lined up." That was where Saul really got, where the roots of bitterness really began to grow, is Saul had his plans for Jonathan to reign, but God was making it clear that God wanted David to reign. And so when Saul began to consider the possibility of the person who was going to occupy what Saul considered to be his throne, his family's throne, listen, he had begun very small in his eyes, and he had become very self-exalted, and so that pride was one of the things that helped depose him. But when he heard the people giving all of the praise to David, and it said, what more could he gain but the throne? And he considered that his. And so he spent pretty much the remainder of his life trying to prevent his throne from being passed on to someone else. Actually, what wisdom says is make sure that you have a plan of succession in place. You need to prepare people so that they can function without you. I have had the privilege of growing up with a great pastor, and his wife passed away, and he ended up retiring from our church. He went on and served as a missionary in Hong Kong before the communists resumed power over that. Took a church that was running a couple of hundred people, and when he was leaving, they had 5,000 people in it, and they were very active in communicating their faith, and so left a very strong, vibrant church. He was actually invited back by the Chinese government and was able to hold a service after the communist takeover, something that is practically unheard of. But they had such tremendous respect for him that they invited him back. He did a tremendous job of training people to serve. And so after he had retired from our church, there was a man who was sick. He was in the hospital, and the pastor said, "You know, I can't come up there and pray for you." And he says, "You know what? My pastor taught me how to pray the prayer of faith for myself." And so train up those people who, if you are not there, that they will be able to go ahead and function. They will be able to go ahead and continue teaching the Word of God and living out the Word of God and reaching the lost with the love of Jesus. Make sure that you have a plan of succession. So my goal for my kids is that they will have seen Jesus living in their mother and I to such an extent that they will be able to accomplish greater things for the kingdom of God than we have. And so I'm thankful. My daughter, she's getting ready to go on a missions trip. And all of them have very, very high qualifications. I've got one of them that's still in need of a job. And so if you know of anybody who needs a business major who does their job very well, contact the church. We would love to hear from you. I just know what God is capable of doing through my children. And so God says to Shebna, he says, "I've got a guy by the name of Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and he is going to end up taking your place." Solomon, you know, when he pondered who was going to take his place, says, "Who knows whether this guy's going to be a wise man or a fool?" He says, I don't know. It's all vanity to me." So listen to what it says. "Then in that it shall be in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah." I believe that is the qualification that caught God's attention in the first place, that Eliakim was not going to just be serving himself, was not going to be after his own agenda or his own legacy, but instead that he was going to be serving God. It, what mattered to him was God's agenda, what God wanted to do for God's people. And so you and I, we need to adopt that mindset of let's serve God. Let's serve God. And so I read an article here recently, and it said, you know, go beyond saying thank you for your service. And I encourage you to do that, to say thank you for your service to the military personnel. But God will also drop things into your spirit about ways that you can be a practical blessing to people who are serving faithfully. And so if you and I are God's servants, I pray that we would realize that it's his agenda that we need to get on. So I do need to mention one other thing here while it's crossing my mind, and that is our prayer meeting in the morning because of the surgery that is going on. That will not be taking place. And so I know that the odds are slim that anybody was going to plan on joining us that had never been there before. We've notified all of the people who normally come or occasionally come, but just want to make sure that you didn't show up, say, tomorrow, June the 30th, that's going to be the first 6 a.m. prayer meeting I show up at Merit Assembly of God. If you do that because of my surgery and some other situations, we're not going to be meeting there corporately for prayer, but you can be joining us in prayer as we will be praying. So here we go. Then it shall be in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim the son of Hilkiah. For some reason, I'm having a real difficult time with his dad's name. He says, I will clothe him with your robe. And so now is really where the reality begins to set in for Shebna, is that he is not just going to be filling a position. He is going to be filling the position that I have had, and he's going to be doing it for the glory of God. And he says, I, God, am going to clothe him with your robe. He's going to be wearing your garments of authority. He says, I will strengthen him with your belt, and I will commit your responsibility into his hand. So there is a covering, there is a strengthening, and there is a responsibility. Right now, if you have a job, if you have a position, if you have a relationship, you have three things. You have those three things in your life. You have a covering, you have those in authority over you. You have the credentials that are displayed because of that. I have on my card, you know, that it says I'm the pastor, and I have keys that go with that will unlock the door. Now, if I go someplace else and I try and utilize those keys aren't going to work in that door. If they do, as soon as they find out that my keys work in their door, they're going to be calling their locksmith, and they're going to be having their locks changed, and I'll go back and we'll have to call the locksmith and have our locks changed, because there is supposed to be a level of authority. There are some credentials that go with it. And so our number one credential should be that we have a servant's heart, that we are serving God. That should be a mark of distinction. Another credential for the body of Christ is, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. So let's talk a little bit about this covering. And that is, I believe that every person needs to have an authority over them in their life. If anybody gets to that place where there is no one that they are accountable to, no one that they are answerable to, they are in a very dangerous place. And so I want to show you how this is delegated, because it doesn't say that Eliakim will clothe himself with that. God said, I'm going to clothe him with that. So God will equip you for your assignment. He is your ultimate authority. He is my ultimate authority. And so let's thank God for the covering that he has given to us. It wasn't until Adam and Eve sinned that they realized that they were without covering at that point in time. Now they were vulnerable. Now they were looking to sew fig leaves together. Now they were afraid of God instead of enjoying the nightly fellowship that they had. Their covering had been removed. Thank God that he came, that Jesus came to restore covering to our life. Don't think that just because you work for yourself that you don't have anybody that you're accountable to. That's not what God wants for you. You and I need to clothe ourselves with the robes of righteousness. We need to put on the armor of God. It is declared in God's word. They are God's gift to us. Let's make sure that we have that covering. The second thing is he said, I'm going to strengthen him with your belt. And so God, as he has placed you in a position, when he places you like he is going to Eliakim, he said, I'm not going to position you there as a doormat. I'm not going to position you there in weakness. I am going to position you there in strength. I am going to give you the necessary equipment that is going to strengthen you. One of those things that you and I should be availing ourselves is the faith that God has given to us. He says, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Be strong and of good courage. You see, a lot of people misidentify the meekness and the humility that God has called us to as a weakness. That is not it. Meekness is actually great strength under God's control. Let me repeat that in case you want to write it down. Meekness is great strength under God's control. I tell people it is not a sign of strength just to be able to lay upon someone, rest your hand upon them or to collapse upon them where they are bearing the entire load of your weight. That's not strength, that's weakness. The strength comes when you are able to deal with someone in a controlled manner, in a tender manner, in a loving manner. That's where great strength, that, you know, if you try and just, if you just rest your hand on your arm, there's no strength involved in that whatsoever. But if you say, you know what, I'm just going to hold my right hand over my left arm, then you're going to find that the longer you hold that, the stronger, the more strength that you are going to have to display. So I encourage you not to operate in your strength, in your might, or in your power, but stand there strengthened in the placement that God has given to you. Don't be negligent in your duties. Don't stand there thinking you're never going to have to give an account. There was a parable Jesus told of a servant that had been placed in charge, and the master went away, and he said, the master is never coming back. And so he started to abuse the servants, and all of a sudden the master returns, and guess who gets in trouble? It's the guy who's been abusing the servant. So stand in strength, not abusive strength, but the spiritual strength that God has given to you. Men, we are not called to be spiritual sloths. We are not called just to sit around and watch television and get drunk and gawk at women. That's weakness. Strength says, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at another lady. Strength says, I am able to control my physical body as an instrument of righteousness and not as an instrument of unrighteousness. Strength says, I will not be controlled by anything. Strength says, it might have been permissible to me, but it wasn't beneficial, and so I chose not to do it. So we need to stand in that strength. And the third thing is that he says to Shebna about Eliakim is that he says, I'm going to commit your responsibility into his hand. So these are the things Eliakim had to look. He was going to have a covering. He was going to be strengthened, and he was going to have responsibility. A lot of people are looking for the privilege of position when they should actually be focused on the responsibility of the position. There is responsibility. People want to talk about their rights. God wants to talk about your responsibility. We have a responsibility, and that is to be salt and light and to take this gospel to every human being and make disciples of them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That is our responsibility. We have a responsibility to stay in communication with our commander-in-chief. If you have a position, you have a reason. Listen, when the economic downturn happened and people were looking to shrink the size of their labor force, I guarantee you that one of the things that they began to evaluate was, what are the highest levels of responsibility? A lot of times we want to look and say, you know what, I've been at that position longer than anybody else, so I should be able to survive. Well, it depends on what your level of responsibility is. Is your function vital to the success of that company? If you want to make sure that your job is secure, that you would be able to survive almost any economic downturn, have a high degree of responsibility that is vital to the core functions of the company. And so if you lack those skills, develop those skills. You have a responsibility at church. A lot of times people come to church and they're looking for places that they can just slide in and slip out and nobody will pay attention. I want you to know, we as believers have a responsibility to be planting or sowing or watering or weeding or harvesting. We all have a role to play in the spiritual harvest. And so we need to make sure that we take care of our responsibility. Now, a lot of people that I know like to focus on what other people are responsible for and point out the flaws with that while neglecting their own responsibilities. And so the scripture says, hey, mind your own business in that matter. Okay. Peter looked at John and says, well, what about him? What do you got in store for him? He said, Jesus said, what is that to you? You follow me. Make sure that you and I are fulfilling the spiritual responsibilities that God has placed under us, and that we're carrying those things out in strength. So those are three things that Hilkiah had to look forward to, and all of those at one point in time had belonged to Shebna, and he had ignored them. Today, let you and I commit ourselves. Let's not ignore the credentials that God has given us, the authority and the influence that God has given to us. Let's not have him take those things away. Let's function in the strength of an almighty God. We serve a God of great strength, not of great weakness. And let's be people who carry out our responsibility, knowing that one day we are going to have to give an account to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God bless you. You're set up for a great day. We will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio broadcast. We love you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."